the thrill of living is gone. Say, oh yeah, life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. They walk on.
Hello, this is Jacques.
And this is Diane.
I know the song says Jack and Diane. Everybody always wanted to call me Jack, but it's Jacques.
Jacques and Diane.
Welcome to Pet Chat.
Welcome.
We're here today. We're gonna just tell you a little bit about us, our histories, and how our company's developed, and et cetera.
And Jacques, why don't you start?
I'm going to start us off. Okay. Well, yeah. I'm originally from California. And came here in 2004, 2008, met my partner in life and co-owner of Soap and Bean Pet. Soap is short for Sophie. That's my 22-year-old cat. And Bean is short for Jilly Bean. She's my 6-year-old cat. And we got her down in Delaware at the Humane Society. She came because Sophie had a dog for a long time, and Chloe died in Texas, where we came from, and she needed a friend and a partner. So we got her Jilly Bean, and Jilly Bean was so funny. When we got her, she went under my feet into the petals, and we couldn't get her out. She was real tiny. She was like 3 months old. So she was up in the pedals somewhere. She wasn't really in the engine compartment, and she wasn't really in the cab of the car. But finally, after about half an hour, we got her down. And so we brought her back. And then Sophie had a Fritz. That night, Sophie disappeared. She ran outside. We were on the first floor of a condominium and have an outside door to let them go out in the bushes. And so she disappeared. I think she didn't want, at that time, a partner. But the next morning, about 9 o'clock in the morning, her neighbor called and said, "We have your cat. We saw her under a car when we came home last night at 2 o'clock, but we didn't want to disturb you." So they've been friends ever since. So that's the Soap and Bean inspiration for our pet care service. And we started the pet care service because I retired from Comcast after 10 years there and 30 years in cable, and I needed something to do, and I love animals and always have.
And what brought you actually to the East Coast from the West Coast back in 2004?
Well, it was always cable companies. I lived most of my life in California and grew up there, and went to Phoenix for 3 years, and went to Minneapolis for 10 years, and went to Dallas for 7 years, and in each case, it was a job that moved me from one place to another.
Oh, wow.
But originally in California, I knew it was going to be pets. I grew up with my grandparents, and from the time I was 6 years old, my mom had some mental issues, and so I was always with my grandparents, and they were musicians, and they loved cats, and we had 21 cats coming and going all the time. Most of them lived under the house, some in the house. We had Tippy and Top Hat and Tiger and the Lone Ranger. Tiger lived the longest. Tiger was 20 years old, and he was a fighter. He was out there. You couldn't believe he was all busted up, but he just dragged himself around, and he came and slept in bed with me and my dog and Pal. I had, since I was 4 years old, he was a mix of a Labrador Retriever and Boxer. And Pal, I had till I was 18, so he was like my brother when he passed.
Did Pal get along with the cats?
Oh, yeah, you know, off and on, you know. Aww. Some of the cats that weren't afraid of dogs came in the house, and Tiger didn't care about Pal, and they sort of walked by each other and gave each other no never mind, basically.
Oh, that's great.
And Pal always wanted to be with us. At one time, we were out playing football out in the front yard, and he was scratching on the front window, and he broke the window pane, and we had to wrap his legs in towels and take him in this truck. A friend of my brother was a little older than me, and he had a truck, and we went to the vet, and they sewed him up, and he was just a outside dog, and he chased everything. He was a car chaser as well, and he would chase cars down the street, and he was very lucky most of the time. One time he was chasing this a T-bird, and T-bird ran over his back legs, and so he had two broken legs, and he had casts on his back legs for a couple of months, and he learned no lesson from it. But so grew up with dogs and cats. And,
well, it sounds like, were you taking in a lot of strays? Is that what?
Yeah, well, they sort of came. Because we put food out, mm-hmm. cats would just come.
Was it a farm?
No, it was in North Hollywood, California, just on a regular block, a Catholic church across the street, just regular neighborhood. And grew up with, you know, a lot of celebrity people that we didn't think were celebrities. Jonathan Ritter was the son of a famous country singer, Tex Ritter. And Tex Ritter wrote the song for High Noon. It was called Do Not Forsake Me, Oh My Darling. Anyway, so that was Tex Ritter. And Jonathan played the saxophone. I played the trombone. And later on in life, he became John Ritter and did Three's Company. But I knew him as Jonathan. And we had a lot of people. My grandparents both had pianos in the living room, two baby grand pianos, and being musicians, we had musicians coming all the time. Debbie Reynolds came over to learn how to play the piano one time, and several lessons. And so we just awesome. Didn't think anything of it.
Yeah, I guess they all like cats and dogs, and nobody had allergies.
Yeah,
I know back then when I was little, we used to have a lot of, you know, cats running around. You could actually have cats outside. Today, you just, you know, you don't really let your cats out at all.
Yeah.
It's different.
And my grandparents came to California from Kansas by way of New York. And my grandmother was on Broadway, and my grandfather got a job working at Paul Whiteman's jazz band. And they came to California to make a movie at Universal Studios back in 1931 called The King of Jazz. And he always told this story. He says, the canteen was broke into two sections. They had all these actors from The King of Jazz in white dinner jackets, and the other half of the canteen had muddy German soldiers from All Quiet on the Western Front. And they had to keep them separately because they didn't want the dinner jackets to get all mud all over them. And one day, Paul Whiteman asked my grandfather to go to Hollywood, to the police station, to bail out the drunk. And my grandfather says, okay. And Paul Whiteman said, I'll pay you back. It cost my grandfather $100 to bail out the drunk. And that was Bing Crosby. So he had a trio in the movie. The King of Jazz was a movie about musicians and different acts and people tap dancing and singing, et cetera, et cetera.
So your family had a lot of musical background, different talents. And
yeah.
They loved animals, and then how did that impact your decision today to have your business?
Well,
your career.
I, you know, always had animals. I had a dachshund for 14 years, Dinky. She was in California, in Arizona, and she passed in Arizona before I went to Minnesota. Then I had a Chloe, and I had Chloe through Texas, and she passed in Texas. She was 14 also. So just the back of my mind, animals were just there. And when I retired from Comcast, my wife says, you know, you're so boring. You know, do something with your life. You know, what do you want to do? And, of course, I just wanted to retire. But she convinced me that I didn't just want to retire. I should do something. And so I said, I love pets.
How did she become the co-owner? Was she already involved?
She's a creator. She was her idea, and I went along with it, and I love it. And I go out and do the deeds. I take care of the pets and do the overnights. And she comes up with creative ideas. We have Soap and Bean on canoe paddles, on hats, on shirts, on magnets that go on the cars. So soap and beans everywhere.
That's and, cool.
You know, the most important thing when we were researching it was to do something that other people weren't doing. And we noticed college kids were doing it. And, you know, if you have a college kid that gets bitten, they could sue you. Or the dog runs out in the street and gets run over by a car. The people, you know, will hold you responsible. So we made sure we were licensed, we were bonded, and we were insured. And we wanted to make sure that we were different in that regard than any other company that was out there. Some are, but there are so many people that are just individuals doing it part-time, and they're not bonded, licensed, and insured.
I think best practices in the industry are really important. I think that's something we'll touch on too, is our businesses have actually evolved. That's one of the things we keep top of mind no matter what we do. And I think that's a good reason why we're here today talking about it. And we'll talk more about that too.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I'll tell a little bit more about Soap and Bean here coming up, and a little more history of California.
And Pampered Paws Pet Care PA.
Yes, ma'am.
We'll be hitting that soon.
Well, this is the song about Jack and Diane. Remember, it's
Jacques
and Diane. So we'll see you in a minute.
Hi, everybody. Phil Valentine here. It's great to be back on the air in Philly, and especially when my show is being broadcast from the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge area, home of freedom-loving patriots both in times past and today, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
One, two, three.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, inviting you to join me for Backstage Jazz. I'll spend an hour each week taking you behind the music and into the lives of America's top jazz musicians. Experience live jazz music and connect with the artists through backstage interviews. Join us right here for this season of Backstage Jazz. Broadcasting Saturday afternoon at 4 and streaming Sunday night at 6 on WFYL.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Gone. This is Jacques.
And this is Diane.
And this is Pet Chat. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Jacques, tell us a little about the inspiration behind your business and where you've been, where you came from, and where you're going.
Oh, it sounded a little French there for a moment.
Yes, yes.
Before I tell you the inspiration, everybody always asks me, where did you get your name? Because I'm not French. And it's a simple story. Being from L.A., my mom was going to UCLA at the time of her pregnancy. And when I was born, she was taking a French class and loved the name Jacques. So I have a French name, even though I'm English and German. Hamilton is my middle name, and Alexander Hamilton, way back, uncle somewhere.
I love it.
Back in the past, and Schiller is German. So that's my name. But anyway, back to inspiration. My grandfather really was my inspiration, besides my wife. But he did what now I'm doing. And he retired. He was a musician. He worked for Walter Lantz, and back in the 30s, he wrote over 300 cartoon scores and was instrumental in a lot of cartoons for Universal Studios back in that time. But when he retired, he was like 65 years old, and he started working, before they had karaoke, he worked in piano bars. And everybody knows, like, Piano Man. He was a piano man, and every night he would come home at about 2:30 in the morning, 2:45, after his gig that evening. And just a little side, he would bring either orange sherbet or pineapple sherbet, and he would wake me up, and we would share this little pint of orange or pineapple sherbet. Well, Pal, again, my dog, got into this routine as well. So he used to wake me up 5 minutes. He'd lick my face. My grandfather's not there yet, but he's licking my face because he knows he's coming. He hears it or something. It just senses it. And the three of us would have the orange sherbet or pineapple sherbet together. But anyway, aww. So he's retired and he's playing year after year after year. And now when he's even more retired, he's only working on Friday and Saturday nights. And he was at the Villa Bella, and he was at the Generous Britain, and you would go into the bar, and you would go up and ask for a song to be sung, and they would do opera, they would do anything. And they would say, do you know this song? And he says, no, but just hum a few bars, and I'll play along, and he did that. So I'm in college, and he's like 85 years old, and he loses one leg to diabetes. And a couple years later, he loses another leg to diabetes, and he's 90 now, still working the piano bars. And he's sharp as a whip. And I would take him at 9 o'clock at night and pick him up at 2 o'clock in the morning. And if I had a girl with me, he knew that was a regular thing, because normally I would take the dates home at like 12:30 and then come to the piano bar later in the evening. But every Friday, Saturday, from 9 o'clock till 2 o'clock in the morning, he'd be at the piano singing away. And he said, Jacques, never retire. He says, do something you love. And that's when my wife said, you know, what do you love? And it's pets. And so my grandfather and my wife were my inspirations for Soap and Bean Pet Care.
I love it. Love it. And, great story.
And we do the neat thing that we've got into is these overnights. Do these weekends and sometimes full weeks where I will go to a person's home late at night. They want their house watched as long along with their pets, and I'll stay with them in a guest room and make sure that they're out for the night, breakfast in the morning, come back a couple times during the day to let them out, and then feed them their evening meal. And then back later in the evening. And people really like that. I've had repeat business with this routine. And it seems to be working fairly well. And I really love that aspect of the job.
And I saw you you were creative recently, just last week while we were talking about treats and different things. I saw that you made some really cool cupcakes that were... They were pug faces. They were adorable. I wish people could see what they look like.
Actually, you can. If you go to my website, www.sophnbean, so Soap and Bean Pet Care, .com, look up my website, go to the blogs. And the blogs are funny stories from the animal's perspective. They're waiting for their owners to come off a vacation and the like. And one of the pictures are these two pugs. And in front of the two pugs is a plate filled with cupcakes. And these cupcakes have faces on top of the icing of pugs. My wife looked up on the internet. Again, she's the creator. And she says, Jacques, you're the artist, so why don't you follow the instructions? And I melted down Tootsie Roll Pops and made cheeks and eyeballs and eyebrows. And it looks kind of cool. One of the pugs is there just drooling, waiting to eat one of these cupcakes. So I made the cupcakes. And when the people came back from their vacation in the islands, waiting for them on a table, away from the pug so they couldn't eat them up.
Yeah, that's important.
When I wasn't there, were these cupcakes, and they loved them, and they thanked me for them. And it's kind of neat if you could come up with a treat, because it is a treat for me to work for these people. So I give back in any way I can, you know, in just a little way. We've made dog bowls. It says Soap and Bean dog bowls, so we leave dog bowls. We have little dogs where you take the head off, and inside are little trash bags. And we've left those, and it says Soap and Bean on the little dog. Recently, last week, we made mats. So you put the mat down, and it's a little advertising, obviously. It's Soap and Bean Pet Care, our phone number and our website. And I put it under the dog bowl, so they have now a mat to remember us by underneath the dog bowl. So
that's great. You're having fun with the marketing and the creative. I love that.
Yeah, it's just anything you could come up with and do.
That's important.
We'll do. So it's been now almost 2 years since we started, and I'm looking forward to being so busy that I have to hire someone else, and then someone else. And you have, what, 23 people now?
We're 24 now.
I'd love to see that in the future. And, you know, everything comes in time.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't expect to be this far along. When I moved here, I looked for a job and found Comcast. I had history with cable TV, so it wasn't that difficult. And then we found a house or a condo down in Lewis, Delaware. We use it as summer rentals now. So we've got a little income coming in from our summer rental properties. And who would have thunk that as part of this, there would be a radio station and a radio show called,
you never know.
Called Pet Chat. I mean, I know, it's amazing what life I'll have to presents
talk,
itself.
Yeah, and I'll have
with.
To talk to you about your beach house there.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to take a week.
If anybody wants to, another website I put together. It's called www.lewesbeachcondo.com. Very simple. LewisBeachCondo.com tells our pricing and pictures of the condo, and it's really nice. We have our first renter coming in there this Sunday, and I was down there this week just making sure everything is right. Another thing we've done is we have canoe paddles with Soap and Bean on the canoe paddle.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's we've awesome. Left them in the condo. So anyway, we're going to wrap this up, and we're going to learn a little bit about Diane in the next couple of minutes, but we're going to go on a little break, and we'll see you
right back.
Yes. Welcome to Pet Chat AM 1180 WFYL.
Oh yeah, life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. The walk on
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180WFYL.com.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America. You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
From the Jeffersonville Golf Club. Jeffersonville Golf Club.
Yeah, they put a radio station on a golf course.
This is AM 1180.
WFYL.
WFYL.
Life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. Say, oh yeah, life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. To walk on.
This is Jacques.
And this is Diane.
And welcome back to Pet Chat. So we're doing segments on ourselves and our companies. And Diane has a little scratch in her throat, and she's bearing through it. But
Bearing through.
So why don't you tell us, well, where are you from?
I'm actually from Pittsburgh. I was born in Pittsburgh. And I grew up in Pittsburgh for about, I guess, until I was about 6 years old. And we had, my parents had actually rescued a shelter dog. And I grew up with the shelter dog named Salty.
What kind of dog is it?
He was a Pekingese.
A Pekingese?
Oh. A little Pekingese with a lot of fur. A little lover. Real great dog. Just absolutely marvelous. He played with all the kids in the neighborhood. He played in the snow. And he had so much fur. He ended up turning into like a snowball by the end of the day playing outside in the snow.
Is a Pekingese a small or a big dog?
Very short. Short to the ground.
Oh, okay.
A lot of fur. Smushed in face. They look like a little bear. Adorable.
Oh, now I know what it
big
is.
Big eyes. Yeah. Almost the pug eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Salty was my first dog. And then we moved around a lot. We ended up moving up to the mountains. And that was really... That was when I realized that I really truly wanted to do something with animals because I was surrounded by nature all the time.
What did your parents do?
You mean for a living?
Yeah, I mean you went up to the mountains for a job for your dad's job or mm-hmm. something.
My dad was an architect, so he did a lot of design work.
Oh, cool.
And so they built this house that was, you know, in the woods, and there were probably about it was set far back, so there's about six homes together, and then there was a development in front.
Was his name Frank Lloyd Wright?
Actually, he studied a lot of... He went to Carnegie Mellon and admired him. But his work is really... It's amazing. He does a lot of different carvings and things, too.
Right.
But very artistic. I took over some of the artistic part of it, and I have fun with that, with graphic design work and stuff. But when we were little, we played outside all the time. Right. And we loved the woods and the farms. And we did everything. We played with the cows. We would play basketball in different places. And when the ball would go over the fence, you'd have to kind of take turns in the group on who was daring enough to get the ball.
Because, why are there bears in the area?
Oh, yeah. Well, the bulls would come running across the field
where
the cows were. And you really had like 8 seconds to go in and get your basketball and bring it back out.
Ferdinand's coming after you, huh?
Oh, yeah. And they would run, and they were big. But we also had a lot of... You know, with the farms, you have a lot of kittens. We just found that after a few years, we started seeing more and more cats, and I started to rescue them. And, you know, it was hard for my parents to kind of say no to a little 9-year-old that's looking at them crying with kittens. And so
can we have one more, Mommy?
Yeah, just one more. So we had a really bad thunderstorm one night, and I just remembered really working hard to get this one cat in the woods. And chasing him, and I finally got him, and I named him Tiger. And my parents were like, no, we can't keep him.
So we both had a tiger.
We both had a tiger, yep. And Tiger didn't come into the house right away, but he slept in a tree that looked in my bedroom window, and he slept there like a panther with his paws hanging off the tree branch.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I knew.
So he watched you at night.
He watched me, and he kept, you know, he just kept watch outside my window, and then finally... I begged my dad, and he said, okay, we can have a cat. And so we kept Tiger, and we found the other one's homes. And it was really cool. I never thought I'd have a cat. So that was pretty neat to grow up with Tiger. And, You talked about bears. We did build a lot of forts in the woods. We would go swimming in the creeks.
You said we. You have a brother or sister?
I have a brother, and we had a neighborhood full of kids that really enjoyed playing outside, and we used to build forts, like really build really nice forts, because my dad, you know, was an architect.
Right. So you had the itch.
We had to impress him. So I would actually get shingles and put them on the roofs when we were done, and we made windows, and it was just really fun. And then we would go swimming and cut vines from the trees and jump into the lakes and stuff. And we found that there were actually wild dogs in the woods. We don't know what they were, if they were coyotes or whatever, but you would hear them barking.
Oh, so they wouldn't come up close enough.
They wouldn't come close enough, but we did have to walk a mile to the bus stop every day. And when we were moving, we found out that the bears were actually coming closer and closer to our backyard. And
right.
Apparently they showed up at the bus stop one day. So the bears were out exploring. So that was a while ago, and that was in kind of central Pennsylvania-ish, just outside of Pittsburgh.
So I guess black bears, right?
Yeah, black bears.
Yeah.
And here we have, I think we still have, we have black bears in kind of like Elverson, Berks County.
Really?
Yeah.
I know, I live right across from Valley Forge Park. We have deer, but no, I think we have foxes. I saw a fox one time.
Yeah, there's a lot of foxes. There's coyotes around.
Really?
Haven't seen
none of those.
Coy dogs. It's like a hybrid. Yeah, I've seen some pretty big, coyote dog animals and creatures. But
so how long were you up in the woods?
We were there till probably about, I guess, 14. And then we came here. I lived in Malvern for a while. And, that's where, it's exciting then. It's not so woodsy. You're focused on getting your driver's license and driving and exploring
right.
the world. And then I realized I really loved to be close to the ocean, so I would drive down to the beach a lot. I volunteered at the Marine Mammal Stranding Center. And I think that was in New Jersey, in Brigantine. And I started to work with saving sea life and mammals and turtles. And we had some incredible adventures with that, because some of the sea turtles that we rescued were like 250 pounds. And you're...
Where do you find a sea turtle?
Well, they get hurt with propellers from boats.
Right.
Sharks will bite them.
And you'll find them on the shore?
We get a call. We'll get a call from people reporting it, or people who are reporting, even abuse,
right.
where we've had to approach vessels and get the animals off. Porpoises, dolphins, seals, a lot of seals. And then when they were done with their rehab, we would transport them up to Cape Cod. So that was pretty interesting.
Now, did you go to college here in this area?
I went to college here. I was supposed to go to Penn State, and I went to a friend's party at Shippensburg.
Uh-oh.
I ended up going to Shippensburg for a little bit, and then I came back to Cabrini. I'm glad I did, because Cabrini opened up a lot of doors in communications, and then my career pretty much took off in communications, in pharma, and marketing. And public relations, but...
Is that where you met your husband?
Yeah, I actually, when I was in marketing, I met him. And I think one of the things that I did and kept interest in was, pet sitting and watching animals. And I think because my neighbors knew that I had such a drive and a connection to animals, that they would always ask me to pet sit. And I started my business a long time ago. I can't even remember exactly when I started. It was probably like 10 years ago. And it was Diane's PetCarePA.com, which merged with another business. And we'll talk about that.
Yeah, that went quick.
Yeah.
All right. AM 1180 WFYL. This is Pet Chat. We'll be back.
We'll be back.
Living is gone, the walk on.
Shining light throughout the tri-state area, streaming freedom, shining. the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYL.
If you like Car Talk, catch Under the Hood Saturday and Sunday mornings from 6 to 7. Exclusively streaming on 1180WFYL.com. Worldwide on your computer or mobile device. Stream Under the Hood this Saturday morning from 6 to 7 at 1180WFYL.com or on your favorite mobile device. Go to our website at 1180WFYL.com to find out more.
Hi friends, Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 p.m. on In the Market.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. Thanks for listening to my show and the other great programs carried live on WFYL 1180 AM, broadcasting from the historic Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. The thrill of living is gone, to walk on.
This is Jacques.
And this is Diane.
And welcome back to Pet Chat. Where we left you, Diane, was with your new business. How did that segue into what it is today?
Actually, what happened was I started DianesPetCarePA.com a few years ago, and today, believe it or not, is a special day. Today's an anniversary.
You mean today, today?
Today, today is actually an anniversary, a one-year anniversary of the closing of the new business name, which is Pampered Paws Pet Care PA LLC. Today, a year ago, I sat in Trap, PA in a office with a bunch of lawyers and another seller of a business and my husband and a few others, and we went to closing, and two pet sitting businesses merged, and my territory became Chester and Montgomery counties. It was an amazing day. It was probably a little bit more difficult than buying a house, believe it or not, because the business part of the merger acquisition. So we had two different company names coming together, creating a new name, a new entity.
Did you have to have, therefore, the lawyers, the new name as well as your two old names?
Yes. So I had to do all the legal stuff behind the scenes to have the new name brought to life and have, you know, the website, the Facebook page. I worked with Google. I worked with all kinds of folks to transition the old name into a new Facebook page name and keep the followers, keep the personality, and just, you know, let it grow. And I think the hardest part about it was when you merge two businesses, as two business owners, you're not allowed to talk to each other's team members. So I wasn't...
You mean until after the fact?
After the fact. So here we are, you know, excited about it, but you're also nervous because you need to talk to, you know, your new team.
Your employees. Yeah. You're reticent because you don't know who they are. They don't know who you are.
Right.
And you've just bought the business sort of blind faith.
Right. And so you're actually still working, you know, 24/7 to do work, but you're also getting to know your new employees. So it was quite an adventure. There were the first 2 weeks we were working from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day. And we did a lot of transition training. We had a whole program put together. I think the whole thing was so inspiring. You put a business plan together and you present it to the bank, but you can also share your business plan with Penn University students who will, they'll look at your plan and they'll go through it and they'll use it for their class.
Like interns, in development. Sort of.
Yes, it's really, it was a unique process. And you have to kind of forecast where you're going. What I noticed with pet care, it's really all about relationships. So you can have 3 employees, you can have 20 employees, but you can't think tomorrow you're going to have 30. You can't think about the growth because it takes time to build those relationships.
As I know.
It's not something that happens overnight. And it really, we take a lot of care in how we grow. We take a lot of care in who we hire. We don't hire seasonal. We hire long-term because our relationships with our clients are long-term. We hire people who really take pride in what they do, and our team members have a lot of experience in different areas. Some have worked at the Philadelphia Zoo. Some have worked with animal care and control, so they know what it's like to rescue a dog or a horse that's been neglected. Some of them have been vet techs. And some are still are. You know, they might do this during the day and work in the evenings at emergency facilities. So Pampered Paws PetCarePA.com has now grown to Chester and Montgomery counties. We've updated our website, and you'll see a lot on there from, you know, what people had to say from both companies and Angie's List.
Would you know, when you change the name, if somebody looked up your old name, would it forward to your new company?
Yeah, Google, it was actually wonderful to work with. I had them take the old website and redirect it. So when you click on it, it goes to the new site. And it can do that for a while, and you kind of tell them when you want to shut it off.
Right, right.
So we did that with all the other sites as well. We kept a lot of things, but some of the stuff that we upgraded were, you know, simple things like landlines. So, you know, 20 years ago, everybody worked in an office, and you didn't use email. You made phone calls to make your sure. schedule your pet sitting. And so we transitioned the phone lines into iPhones. So that way we can take them on the road. We have a business sure. phone and we have our personal phone.
Business on the go.
Yeah. And our team can, you know, contact us for emergencies. We have a really great emergency system, a backup buddy system, so that, you know, if something happens to the sitter, there's always a backup. And we're working hard to go beyond best practices and how we operate. And, you know, make it an industry where you're proud to do pet care. You're proud sure. to be a part of this team. And I think our team members are just outstanding.
Now, what are the, you have, I'm sure, age differences of your employees from very young to retired?
We have some that have been with us for 11 years, 7 years, and some that are new, that are wrapping up college and they're going to finish their classes at night and the evenings, who have worked at the SPCA, for instance, of Chester County, a lot of experience with behavioral issues with animals. An animal that comes in off the streets or has been abandoned needs a certain level of care. So our team is really not afraid to deal with any of that. We also understand that that's a part of life. You know,
sure, sure.
If somebody rescues a wonderful dog, that dog is going to be in a shell for a few weeks. And we partner with trainers as well. And so we might suggest that we have, you know, meetings during the week, maybe 3 times a week, besides just pet sitting, where we start to take the dog out in the evenings with the trainer and do things and socialize the animal more and kind of bring it out of its shell. We try to make sure that the owners, the pet sitter, and the trainer, we all speak the same language. If there's children involved, that we eventually, you know, introduce those terms and that lingo to the children so that everybody can speak the same language and understand, you know, the commands.
Sure. And you said you had a couple that specialize in horses, correct?
We have some people who have specialized in horses, especially grooming. Actually, somebody who used to really show horses, and she's kind of my go-to gal. She's wonderful.
Regarding the horses.
Yeah, she's just great. She's fantastic. So when I call her, it's hard because sometimes, you know, other things in life get in the way, and she's always wanted to keep her finger on working with horses. So I basically get her involved. You know, if there's too many horses at once in one location that, you know, I'll need help with, or I have some concerns while someone's away, I'll just get a second opinion and bring her in. And she loves it. I mean, we've brought some kids in. We almost had a program. We had some autistic children that really opened up. We had a lot of moms come out with their kids, and we noticed while we were even feeding the horses, the kids who are autistic really did well with holding their hands a certain way, holding the hay and the straw and just in the grains and getting the horses to eat. And they really kind of blossomed with that experience. And the neat thing was that the horses were rescues, and they loved that attention. It was so different for them. It meant so much. And the kids loved it. And I almost thought about a program, you know, and I'm not finished thinking about that program. Again, it's something you can't rush. You kind of have to take it, you know, one day at a time.
Sure. Now, you have groomers, folks that specialize in grooming pets, as well as pet sitters.
Well, we actually do not groom. So we're not licensed to groom in Pennsylvania or board. So we don't take animals overnight. You must have a license in PA.
Right, right. I knew that. And we at Sofa Bean, we don't groom either or board.
And I noticed, I think they're cracking down a lot on some of those care.com websites.
Where people are doing it illegally.
Yeah, they're starting to investigate behind the scenes. But we try to do everything, you know, we actually do everything by the book. So
sure. We're
open to talk about that and answer any questions. But we also try to keep our services personalized almost to the level of, you know, filling that void. When you're away, we do the overnights. Mm-hmm. It's almost like having a friend come in or a family member.
Sure. Yeah.
We do the overnights and special needs because we do have a lot of animals that have come out of the ACL surgery, believe it or not, and they're wearing their cones. So we'll stay with them. We'll make our midday visits a lot longer so that we can be with them. We text updates. We share pictures. We let people know if something doesn't look right. We'll let our client know right away, and we'll take a picture of that if we see a hot spot developing
right.
or something.
And I know about that. I had Penny had a cone on for 2 weeks, and I have right now an 18-year-old dog that's blind and deaf, and I sort of take him outside and bring him back, and so he sort of stands around in the grass. And when you're 18-year-old and you can't hear or see, it's a tough life. But, I mean, that happens. I mean, you keep the dog. He had his brother pass last year at 17, and so he's just there, and they love him.
Oh.
They've had him for 18 years. And so I know it's tough when you have special needs pets that you're taking care of and mm-hmm. you're going out to see. I had a cat that never walked. It had cerebral palsy.
Oh, wow.
And I was taking care of this. The owner was in the hospital, and so his brother called me. And I went out, and I would put the cat's head into the food bowl, and he would eat the food, and he would sort of roll around, and I'd play with him as best I could.
Mm-hmm.
But tough life when
yeah.
you've never been able to walk. You're 7 years old, so live that way right. for 7 years. But
well, there's a connection. You know, that's what's important, too, is that, you know, we really become a part of the family. We feel really close to the animals because they're a part of our family.
Sure.
We have a few clients, a lot of blind dogs. What I find with the blind dogs and the deaf dogs is that their noses become their eyes.
Yeah, their sensor.
And when we come in, we make sure that we take a few extra steps so that they can feel us coming and, you know, the floor will vibrate. And turtles are like the same way, too. It's funny. I can tell you a turtle story later. But we have a lot of clients who haven't even redecorated or redesigned their homes or moved furniture because their dogs are blind, so they can't move the kitchen table and buy right. a new couch or do those things. But the love is so, it's so intense for that dog because they've been a part of their lives for so long. One of the dogs that we walk is very special. You can't forget when you're walking this one dog because he will bump into a car. He will not make a curb if you don't tell him. You have to really change your whole
sure.
way of thinking when you walk this dog, and you have to use his commands. So you have to use the step. You have to use different things. And there's one area that he knows in the woods. He can smell the bunnies. And when you get to that part of the walk, he just opens up, and it's almost like his nose becomes his eyes.
Right.
And you see through him, and you give him, put him on a long leash, and you just give him, you know, time to play and just be the dog he wants to be.
Give him some rain.
Well,
we got a couple of minutes. Tell us the turtle story.
Oh, well, when I was little, one of the things I did rescue were about 8 box turtles, and they were found in a pet store that basically was going out of business, and it wasn't a good situation.
So they're being neglected.
Yeah, they were being, it was bad. So what happened was I went in and I bought them. I bought all of them. They thought I was crazy. I acted like, you know.
All meaning all how many?
All of the turtles. At least 8.
Oh,
it
okay.
might have been 11. Some of them were really bad. They didn't want to sell them. I said, please, I'm a marine biologist. I was a little kid, probably, you know, 17 years old or something.
Sure, sure.
And I bought all the turtles, took them in my car, drove them home. And all the kids that I used to babysit in the neighborhood, I got them all organized on schedules. Some of the turtles couldn't eat, and you had to massage their throats. Some of them needed meds. So we rehabbed. I had a whole program going for the turtles and all the kids I babysat. And everybody showed up for their work and their shift, and we started to rehab the turtles. And we were able to let them go. We lost one. We let them go, and only one other one I had to keep, and I have her today. And it's been over 35 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's like a tortoise.
Yeah, I have a tortoise, too, that I just rescued about 2 years ago.
I had Herbie, that tortoise.
Herbie was my turtle. This is my turtle that I've had for 30 years.
In Long Beach, California, so I had Herbie, and he would burrow into the ground, and he would hibernate, and he would come out in the spring.
Yeah.
And he had this hole down there. He was okay, and he was gone for like 3 or 4 months.
Oh, yeah.
He was hibernating.
Herbie hibernates every winter, but she hibernates inside.
Oh, your Herbie's a girl?
Herbie's a girl. We found out she was a girl after I named her.
Well, I guess you can't change the name.
No, and you know, back in the day, Herbie was a big,
popular
movie.
Herbie was a car.
Herbie the love bug, and she looked like a Volkswagen walking So,
well, this has been a great hour. It's gone by so fast.
Yeah.
This is Jacques.
And this is Diane.
And we're at AM 1180 WFYL.
Thanks for joining.
Pet Chat.
My name is Nancy Becker, and I am your recorder of deeds here in Montgomery County. It's very important for the veterans to be aware that they should record their DD-214 or military discharge in the recorder of deeds office. This is important because when a veteran passes, the funeral director will usually contact their recorder of deeds office so that they can arrange for a military funeral. And this relieves the burden of family members of trying to find this very important document. But the most important reason is that we are now issuing a veteran's photo ID card that entitles the veterans to discounts and incentives from nearly 400 businesses here in Montgomery County. All the veteran has to do is come into the Recorder of Deeds office at 1 Montgomery Plaza in Norristown. Parking is always free for our veterans. You just come into the parking garage and tell them you're a veteran and you can park free of charge. Bring along your DD-214 and a photo ID. We'll issue you the veteran's photo ID, give you a list of the businesses that are participating. It takes about 10-15 minutes at the most, and this way you will be receiving these discounts. The incentive for the business to do this is we advertise your business free of charge. My website gets about 1,000 hits a week, so the potential for over 1,000 people of seeing your business is there. Also, every veteran gets a list of all the businesses participating. They get it when they come into the office, and we email them to them every 3 to 4 weeks so that the veteran is aware of the new businesses we have. Veterans of Montgomery County, please come into our office. It would be my honor to shake your hand and thank you for your service to our country.